Shalom, Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I'm fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Doing good.
Getting ready to move to Windsor?
Getting ready, yes. It's going to be the next 2 or 3 weeks. It's going to be very, very busy, but we're looking forward to it, you know, once we can settle down in Windsor. So it's going to be beautiful. Baruch Hashem.
That's good.
Thank God.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
Good, so now we move from Sefer Bereshit to Shemot.
Yep, we move from the first book of the Torah, we start the second book of the Torah. Beautiful parashot, beautiful portions in this week's Torah, in the book of Shemot, absolutely beautiful. And one of the things that we see in this week's Torah portion is that the children of Israel multiply in Egypt, and Pharaoh is threatened by their growing numbers, and he enslaves them and orders the Hebrew midwives, which were Shifra and Pua, to kill all the male babies at birth.
Yeah.
And when they do not comply, he commands his people to cast the Hebrew babies into the Nile River. Now, a child is born to Yocheved, which is the daughter of Levi, and her husband Amram.
Mm-hmm.
And that baby is then placed in a basket on the river, while the baby sister Miriam stands watching it, and from a distance in the reeds. And Pharaoh's daughter, when she went to go to do her bathing one day, discovers the boy, and you know the whole story. And her arm stretches out longer than what her arm really is. The miracle brings in the boy and sees that the boy, and he raises him as her son, and he names him Moses. And God appears obviously to Moses in a burning bush at the foot of the mountain and instructs him to go to Pharaoh and demand, "Let my people go so that they may serve me."
Let my people go. We have a song after the interview, we'll hear a song, "Let My People Go."
Oh,
but that's a famous one.
Yes, it definitely is.
Yeah.
So now, you know, we never really know why things happen. And we sometimes think is, you know, do we always deserve everything that life throws at us, whether it be a good thing or a bad thing? And I think if we look at this Victoria portion, I think it's a very, very amazing story that sort of can shed light on the mysteries of life and our higher destinies. You know, in this week's the parsha, as we just said, describes the beginning of the bondage from the Jewish people in Egypt. And Moses experiences his first official divine revelation at the burning bush, when God comes and reveals himself to him. And at the burning bush, he is charged with the formidable mission to confront the Pharaoh and demand that he let my people go.
Yeah.
And Moses is full of questions, and repeatedly, many times during the conversation between him and God, seeks God's reassurance. And it was not necessarily for what they had done in the past that God would redeem the Jewish people, but for what he anticipated for them in the future. And what does that mean? Because in one of the exchanges at the bush, Moses asks, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should take the children of Israel out of Egypt?"
Yep.
And Rashi, the commentator on the Torah, interprets the first part of the question as Moses is doubting his own qualifications to suddenly, all of a sudden, become a player in the king's court. And in his typical humble way, Moses didn't see himself worthy of challenging the mighty Pharaoh, the king of Egypt.
Yeah.
And the second part of the verse is explained by Rashi to be questioning the worthiness of the Jewish people. What have they actually done to deserve such a miraculous redemption? So really, Moshe had a really twofold question. Says, number one, who am I? And number two is, what did the children of Israel do to deserve this big redemption? to which the Almighty God answers, and he says, firstly, have no fear and have no doubts. Why? Because I will be with you. I am going to come with you to Pharaoh. And secondly, this is your sign that I have sent you. When you take the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. That's what God told him.
Yeah.
So now, it's very nice for us to know that this mountain was, in fact, Mount Sinai, and that the burning bush encounter occurred on that very same mountain. But where lies God's answer to Moshe for the second question? Because he asked, who am I? So God replied to the point and said, don't worry, I will be with you. Very good. That's okay. But to the question of what merit did Israel deserve redemption, we do not see any answer from God. Because what does he say? He says that they will serve God on this mountain. That doesn't really seem relevant to Moses' question at all. So what was it, and how was it that God was answering Moses' question? And in the answer that we're going to discuss in a second lies a phenomenal message. Because we find a very, very fascinating insight. God was saying that it was not necessarily for what they had done in the past that they were ready to be redeemed as a Jewish people,
yeah,
but for what he anticipated for them in the future. And on this very mountain, they would receive the Torah. They would become his chosen messengers to be a light unto the nation. They would be the moral standards in the whole world. And never mind what they did or didn't do in the past, God had big plans for this nation. And when will it all start? It all began with the Exodus.
It's Yetzirat Mitzrayim.
And now we have to think and we have to say, wow, what a powerful message God is telling all of us. Because sometimes the kindness of God, the greatness of what Hashem does for us, it's not because of what we have been, but rather what it would enable us to become. It is not for what we have already done, but for what we will still do. So by God saying the fact of that we will serve God on this mountain, that they will serve me, is entailing that God is going to give us the energy, and he's not looking at what we did or did not do in the past, but more on what we are capable of doing. You know, I remember it was a while ago that a rabbi was telling me, we had a discussion about the concept of you know, why does God do certain things to people that maybe they didn't deserve it, but God did it. I remember he was telling me that there was a story of that happened to him, that a man in his synagogue who was in the midlife experience, you know, he was just about nearly dying. Unfortunately, life was saved by the medical intervention of paramedics and surgeons.
Yeah.
And when he visited him in the hospital, he was overwhelmed by one idea. And he said, Rabbi, I was a goner. What did I do to deserve this gift of life? So we talked about this incident that happened with a colleague of mine, and he explained to me what he answered him, which in that is a phenomenal message and relates to our parsha. So he explained to him that Rashi mentioned about what we just discussed, that God is not necessarily looking at what was before and what a person can have in the what he could do. And he told him that it might not be something he had done in the past, but something that he would still do in the future. And perhaps God gave him a new lease on life for a reason. Not only to enjoy more years with his family, but to do something significant for Hashem, for his people, for the world. And in that is a very, very important lesson that I think we can learn. That God is confident in us. God gives us the ability to be able to go and do something further. So should any of us be the beneficiaries of a special blessing from above, if we get that privilege, instead of patting ourselves on the back and concluding that we must have done something wonderful and therefore we were rewarded, let us rather ask ourselves what God might be expecting us to do with this particular blessing in the future. How can I use it in the future? How can I bring it into my work on this earth? Because it, as the saying goes, you know, special blessings carry with them special responsibilities.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most important lessons from this is that we should be successful and develop our potential that God sees in us and use it for our own moral development and to somehow better the world around us. And that's what Moshe was telling the Jewish, and what God was telling Moshe. That, yes, I will come with you. Don't worry. And what about the Jews? What merits do they have? We're not looking at what they had done in the past. God was interested in what they can do in the future. And that's what God is looking at. And look where we've gone and where we've come, and look how far we're grown as a nation. Yeah. And that's what I think is a very, very important lesson that we can learn from the Torah.
That's a lesson in leadership too.
Oh yes. That's definitely true.
And wherever he needed, God helped him with all kinds of magics and tricks, and, you know, he turned this to that and that to this. Like, God was always behind him.
That's right. That is definitely true. That is definitely true. Yep. So that's, I think, an important lesson that we can learn in our lives.
Nice parasha.
Definitely is.
Rabbi, a congregation, Shari Tzedek, Shabbat services. Yeah.
Services is Friday evening, 6 o'clock, and Shabbat morning is 9 o'clock, and open to the whole community, and we encourage everyone to participate.
That's great. So, Rabbi, I wanted to thank you for your time and knowledge.
Thank you. My pleasure. And we will definitely talk about the next week's Torah next week.
With God's willing, like you always say.
Yes, God willing.
Good night. Good morning. Yeah, it's a recorded interview, but we hear it in the morning. So, good morning.
Good morning, and have a great day.
Same to you.
Be well.